that's the way the original created the world, right? So in this year, this is the schedule. So, but let's at least try to get through. We've been trying to at least try to get a foothold, let's say, into the first topic. I'm going to give you some marmokomos also, but first let's finish up with the marmokomos that we were in the middle of, and then I want to try to finish maybe Sunday the rest of the ones on the page. But by Sunday, I'll probably, or even now, maybe I'll give you extra marmokomos. I'm going to start calling the list also, even though it's only a couple of days, but we'll do the heavy lifting, I guess, after we come back. And once we come back, hopefully, you know, we'll just start going straight, and we'll fill in the other sugyas that we've identified, you know, but we'll fill them in by going straight. But before that, I still want to expand a little bit on the three factors that... so this is not doing anything, right?
No.
In the end?
Did you put it on?
I don't know what it did here.
No, leave it then.
Leave it.
Yeah,
welcome to...
Actually, Rebbe joined it. Is your email open? What's that? What's in the browser?
No. This doesn't...
No, be forgetting about Zoom. It's your email, because you could join. Okay.
Okay. So, okay. I'll, for the next few days, you know, as long as we're having less people around, and some people on Zoom, I'll bring in the computer that's more efficient. Okay. Anyway, so the I wanted to do is just elaborate a little bit more and expand on the three you know, factors. We've already discussed whether they're overlapping, whether they're completely independent, how many dinim there are. But the factors being ayin ra'a, we still have to do work on all of them. Tzimtzum tashmisho betoch sadeu. Especially this idea of privacy, which I want to expand on, just also kind of where else we encounter it, whether it's identical or not. Things like, you know, invading somebody's property, walking into someone's rishus without announcing one's presence, other things that have to do with privacy. These are the three issues that we have identified. Again, the Ramban speaks about multiple issues. The Gemaras, if you identify them, some of them speak about Tzniusa, and some of them speak about Einabisha, clearly. And the Rishonim in particular identify this factor of limiting, you know, the use of the property. And of course, we saw that again in the discussion of the Sma. So let me get back to, you know, where we were, and then just talk a little bit more expansively about these. So with regard to the question of, you know, whether or not, so one fundamental question, you know, about all three of these is whether or not Hezek Re'iyah is considered to be Gira Didei, that we saw already is a matter not explicit in any Gemara, and that is a matter that the Rishonim discuss. Just it happens to be that there's a group of Rishonim that say explicitly, because they want to explain why the onus here is on the mazik and not on the nizak, so it's not ala nizak laharche katzatzmo. So gire didei is invoked by a group of Rishonim. What we saw already, and this is what I want to get back to for a second, is that even number one, that it isn't universal, and it sounds like the Rama is quoting Shita, which is probably really the Gaonim, that you know, thinks that Hezek Re'iyah is actually Hezekah Demimela, all things being equal, it's not Gira Didei. But the Rishonim who do invoke Gira Didei, most of them don't elaborate what they mean by that. And of course, you know, that in contrast, you know, to the Ravan, who identifies Gira Didei with Eina Bisha. Again, how that works out with other parts of the Ravan, very hard to say. A bunch of you have asked me that question. I think some do and some don't. It sounds like the Ravan has some overlapping ideas. There seem to be all three elements in the Ravan in different places. But the idea of Gira Didei, meaning Eina Bisha Mikla Kali, is a very appealing idea once you, again, get past the initial, you know, puzzle, let's say. You know, the fact that some of the Achronim were mistaken a little bit from that definition is also intriguing. Again, the idea that, you know, Gina Shiny is not, everybody agrees that there is Eina Bisha in a Gina, but that maybe it means that there's only Eina Bina in a, only Eina Bisha, rather, in a Gina. And the fact that the regular din is not that way, obviously, is very significant. The fact that the sma, you know, the drisha, in, you know, the later sugya there, shinayin ches, in Shulchan Aruch, distinguishes between eina bisha and, you know, the Ishtamshus Hasadeh, or Tzimtzum Ishtamshus Hasadeh, thinking those are completely different dinim, and that one, you know, is completely independent of the other, and that, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, is speaking only about, again, that has nothing to do with Giri Didei, but has to do with Eina Bisha. So, again, that all of this puts the Ravon in very, you know, clear focus. His idea that Gira Didei, Eina Bisha, is already up front, you know, in the sugya, and part of the sugya on Dav Beis. So basically what I'm trying to suggest is that there, you know, this is a complicated topic because there's a machlokas whether Hezekriah is Eina Bisha. I'm sorry, there's a machlokas whether Hezekriah is Gira Didei, and there also seems to be a second argument, and that is, you know, what does Gira Didei mean? And that for some, for the Ravan, Udi Imei, it means a kind of direct mazik through Ayin Ra'a. But obviously for some of the other Rishonim, it's conceivable that it doesn't mean that. It means, you know, an economic mazik through either, you know, negating somebody's rights, you know, privacy, or, you know, limiting his use of the property. And that too constitutes Giri Didei. Giri Didei in this sense doesn't mean chitzim literally, but it means, you know, kum ba'aseh. Again, if you're trying to figure out, this is part of the sugya of Giri Didei, or generally, right? If you're trying to figure out ala nizik laharchik or ala mazik, you know, laharchik, so you could say, well, the, you know, koveya is a literal Gira Didei. If you're mazik, you know, directly, you know, like a maisa hezek. Nobody has the right to do a maisa hezek to someone else. Can't say, oh, get out of my way, you know, I'm you know, doing target practice right now. You know, if you're doing target practice, that's literally, like rifle club, right? That's literally Gira Didei. But what about other things where, you know, this person is Alpidin, you know, taking the initiative. He's the Kumbaseh. The other person is the Shebal Tasa. Right? Who says that Gira Didei means literally Chitzav, you know, a Maisa Hezek, you know, that stands, you know, on its own. Maybe, you know, as long as in the balance between, this is a huge question in general, in Ala Mazik Laharchik or Ala Nizak Laharchik. Right, if it's practically, you know, equal, and you just need something or some, you know, aspect to, you know, to be machria, you know, then you don't need chitzav shalo, you know, you just need, you know, something that makes him more aggressive or more the aggressor, you know, as this isn't the davar to be mela that's happening, you know, and the other person doesn't have the right to inflict it, you know, maybe. You know, there are actually, you know, important questions that go to the root of the question of ala mazik or ala nizak, you know, laharchik, you know, is, you know, fundamentally do people have to protect themselves, you know, and other people have rights, you know, license, you know, to do what they want as long as they're not egregiously, you know, harming others, or no, you know, it's the opposite. It's I don't have to protect myself. I just, you know, I'm not allowed to put myself in danger. Obviously, you know, that's a different story. So even in this, you know, kind of a meta halachic broader question, you know, default, you know, where would you draw the line, you know, between a mazik, you know, and a nizak's, you know, responsibility? So what I'm saying is, there are cases that are mostly obvious, things that are egregious and aggressive, and you know, there's only one, you know, a side to the story that's always going to be, you know, a lamazik, you know, laharchik. And you know, in situations where, you know, the other person does have rights and he's, you know, osa b'toch shelo, and you know, you're not really endangered because it's elemental for you to be able to protect yourself, and you're going to say, you know, that the nizak is stepping into his own danger, right? But you know, in between that, there's a lot of gray area, and that, you know, is part of a much bigger question, you know, of you know, do you just need the edge of one over the other, or is there a default, you know, in either direction? You know, are we a Jewish society, you know, more a, you know, protective oriented, you know, society, protecting other people's rights, or is it more about, you know, expressing our own, you know, or manifesting our own, as long as we're not trampling, you know, on others? So part of the massive topic, maybe we'll get a chance to do it, of ala mazik or ala nizak laharchik, is that bigger question. So when you have here a discussion about hezek ri'ah, right? So and gira didei, you can't avoid that. So that's why it's very, there's a double, you know, issue always. One is how we look at hezek ri'ah and what it is. And the other is, you know, what really is the threshold, again, that is required in order, you know, to apply the din of ala mazik laharchik as opposed to ala nizik laharchik. And there's a correlation between those two things. So again, the Rimigash, the Orzarua, the Ravon, the Ramban, others who picked up on hezek ri'ah being gira didei, you know, it sounds like it's all one shita, but that is not necessarily the case, which is why, you know, that Rabban is very significant and also somewhat controversial. Right? It's controversial and significant for Gira Didei, and also for projecting Ayin Ra at the center of Hezek Ri'ah. Okay, so again, for the Orzarua and others, you know, they don't make this comment. For the Rimigash, there's significance in another respect, and that is something that we already talked about. Not so much what he says, but where he says it, and the fact that he delays. He seems only to be troubled by this question, you know, on the above, and not much earlier, where the Orzarua and the Rabban and the others were troubled by it. And I like the suggestion that some Achronim make, which is that, you know, you don't need Gira Didei to explain, you know, Binyan HaKosel. Maybe you only need Gira Didei, you know, to explain the obligation of two individuals who have no legal prior legal relationship, you know, to protect each other with a ma'aka. And that is because when you're dealing with shutfim, you know, there might be a whole different issue. And again, this is a paradigm for other things about these shutfim. And that really raises the question, to what extent this, you know, is a completely separate halakha. The fact that, you know, we invoke hezek ri'ah in this context, you know, doesn't prove that it isn't a separate halacha. It just may mean that if hezek real is lo shma hezek, then even chalukas hashutfim, right, would look differently. That's the point that I was trying to make. You know, right before Yontif, but there still are different, you know, there are different dynamic going on between shutfim shechilku, and therefore the idea that you know, here, you know, it's not all a mazik, it's not all a nizak, it's just all shneim, it's part of the chalukas hashutfim, you know, that they build this wall. So that doesn't prove anything about gira didei, and maybe that's why the Rinnegash, you know, had to hold off. But by the same token, I thought that that also, you know, might explain why in general you don't need Giri Didei, a whole different approach. And that is that just like, you know, Chalukas HaShutfin, you know, is a different factor injected into the equation, you know, which changes the way that we look at this problem. It isn't your typical Alamazik, Laharchik, or Alamizak, Laharchik. It's Chalukas HaShutfin. You know, it has a whole different, you know, dynamic. So, too, you might say that, you know, in a broader way, the whole Hezek Re'iyah, you know, is not a typical Harkokas Nezakin about which you ask, you know, Allah Mazik, Allah Nizak, you know, Laharchik. And that's what I was suggesting. And for the Rishonim who don't say Giridi Delay or aren't troubled by it, not only are they not, you know, troubled by it on that base, maybe they're not troubled, you know, on that above, you know, either. Because maybe what they'll tell you is that this is not, you know, this is not the typical Harchakas Nezakin. This is something which is based on, you know, Kedushas Yisrael. You know, again, a lot of, for a lot of the same reasons and things that we pick up, and we still have to, again, pursue the details of this. But I don't know if we'll get to it today because we started a little late. But to, you know, to expand at least our discussion of it, the question of chazaka, you know, and mechila, you know, whether it's nitan on hezek re'iyah. But the point is that if the more we see hezek re'iyah as being, you know, influenced by, you know, this background obligation of, you know, privacy in Klal Yisrael, that could just remove it completely from the typical thing of Harchakas Nezakin. Oh, Harchakas Nezakin may have some aspect of that, but the specifics of privacy being an aspect of Kedushas Yisrael, and again, that what I mean to say is that that kind of parallels, you know, what we were saying about Chalukas HaShutfin, but, you know, it's not limited, you know, by it. And, yeah. Did you want to say
that? Okay, yeah, I think I just got to conclude that. I was wondering why you can't say that any basic issue kingdom is always based on relationship
yeah.
kingdom.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So, I think that that's really a good way of explaining this. Another possibility, you know, again, goes back to, you know, that, you know, debate itself and the, we talked about Rabbi Kivager's, you know, formulation, you know, for the Gaonim, right? You know, what will the Gaonim, you know, what I'm suggesting is I guess another, what I'm suggesting now is a way of solving, you know, this problem. If there are Gaonim who say that Hezek Re'iyah is a Dabar D'Bimeila and it's not a Kum Va'aseh, you know, then, you know, why don't you always, you know, have this problem? Why don't you always say Allah needs to, you know, the Harchik Hasatzma? So again, Rabbi Kivager's, you know, answer for the Gaonim was a little bit different, and that is no, because there, you know, the initial binyan, you know, is a Gira Didei, right? Just not the Re'iyah, you know, Beinayim. So if that was done, you know, beheter, and now mimela, there's a situation of hezek re'iyah, you know, then the re'iyah isn't gira didei, but, you know, the initial, you know, psichas hachalon or binyan, you know, b'makom, you know, Sheyesh has a Kriya, you know, that's the problem. That's the issue. Right. So I think that's a very interesting, we'll get back to that in just a second. Anyway, I think that question, what is the relationship between, right, the two, typically two factors, they're not always together, but, you know, the two factors that often, you know, converge, right? The, you know, the obvious one, but that's already, you know, phase two, which is a situation where you have an individual, you know, who is, you know, overlooking into somebody else's property and how we assess that, and that's what we're kind of talking about. You know, is that mazik? What kind of mazik is it? Et cetera, et cetera. How does it work? But, you know, the structural background, you know, to begin with. To, again, you know, opening up the window, building, you know, in this manner, neglecting, you know, to erect, you know, a fence or to build a fence, you know, once, you know, the original fence, you know, falls down. Right, so that is a, you know, the Makoros that we already saw are very significant for that. But obviously it's a question, you know, that pops up, you know, all the time. Because typically these are, there is the, you know, architectural, if you want to call it, or structural reality or context, you know, and then that's phase one. That's the background. Well, that's the question. Is it only the background? And then there's, you know, the actual threat itself, right? Per se, opening up a window into your yard doesn't do any damage. It does damage because of the, you know, your vulnerability then, you know, to somebody who's looking. But how do these two things, you know, come together? So is that the gear of the day? You might say that, you know, and I think that's what Rabbi Kivager is kind of saying, because he's troubled by it. You know, he's assuming that there has to be a Giridi Dei here somewhere. So he's saying, yeah, the structure is the Giridi Dei. Building the structure is the Giridi Dei. Okay. If you're hesitant to see Re'iyah itself, you know, as something which is concrete, you know, a davar shel mamish, again, like we were saying, you know, kol marav areach, you know. So, you know, marav, you know, looking, is that, you know, hana'a, is that me'ila, you know, is that maisa? So then, you know, saying building the, you know, opening the window or building the building, you know, that's certainly something, you know, that's physical, you know, and concrete. And even if you think, you know, that Re'iyah can be something concrete in certain circumstances, right, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the Davar HaMazik, right? You know, especially if you don't take the view of literal, you know, Enabisha. So the idea that the, you know, what looks like the background is, you know, ends up being the main event, you know, is appealing. But of course, if you take that view, then there are other things to consider. We're going to elaborate them, you know, as well, including, I say, the issue that comes up a lot in the Gaonim, Rishonim, and then Mordechai speaks of it also, and that is, you know, what happens, you know, when the you know, the structural part, the phase one, right, is seemingly, legally, you know, diluted in some way. It's beheter, it's berichuk, right? Because again, the more, if you're talking about re'iyah, you know, then re'iyah is, you know, distance is irrelevant to re'iyah, clearly. I guess you could say there's re'iyah beheter, ube'iser, so maybe that's a kind of a dilution, but it's hard to really, you know, see the re'iyah that way. It's much easier to talk about, you know, psichas achalon, or you know, binyan kosel, or refusal to be bona kosel, you know, in that way of having, you know, having, like, you know, double, you know, status, like, you know, it's in my property, or it's next to the Rosh HaSarabim, or, you know, it's it goes into my chatzer before it goes into your chatzer. So, you know, how can you look at that, you know, as anything, you know, but innocuous? Again, the more you're looking at, you know, the background is the background, and now the question is, you know, he's staring at me. All right, he's staring into his own chatzer, but from an effect point of view, put it this way, from a maisa, you know, point of view, even Re'iya, you could talk about that question. But from an effect point of view, from the Nizak's perspective, right, it's, you know, it should be irrelevant, frankly. Right? But when it comes to Psichas HaChalon, you know, and you're seeing that more as an action, it's not something that's continuous, obviously, it took place in time. So, you know, being done Beheter, being done, you know, samuch, you know, lershusi, you know, whatever the it's mitzuraf to a dvar heter, you know, not to a dvar iser, that could really matter. So again, the Gonim speak about it, the Rimagash, a piece that we saw the other day in Bava Beis, speaks about it. The Mordechai, you know, speaks about it a lot. We'll get back to that Mordechai in just a minute. They of course bring a raya from, you know, Rosh HaSarabim. Is it such a good raya from Rosh HaSarabim? They say, oh, you know, Shnei Tzidei Rosh HaSarabim. So, you know, if you're Poseach Chalon, you know, to Rosh HaSarabim, but past the Rosh HaSarabim is somebody's Chatzer or Rosh HaYachid or Bias, you know, the Gemara seems to say that all things being equal, right, that's the Gemara Gemara base, that would be Hezek. So the fact that Rishonim have to point out and say, yeah, that's a Chiddush because, is significant, you know, and as we'll see, some Rishonim really think that it isn't so obvious, and there may be views that, you know, in some situations that is really going to be permissible. That's very remarkable. The more you see it as simply background, right, it should be totally, totally irrelevant as a factor, right? So we'll get to the Mordechai's in a couple of minutes. There are other examples of this as well. But even if you reject the idea, you know, or to use the language of some Rishonim, right, you know, including Rabban, I think, like, you know, Chazal never gave a shiur on, you know, on Hezek Re'iya. You know, so in the end of the day, there are still two ways to explain. In other words, the predominant view is that it doesn't make a difference. If it makes a difference, that's very significant. Even if it's a havamina that it might make a difference, I think that's significant. Let's assume it's just a havamina and a maskana, which is the normative view, that it doesn't make a difference. But it could still not make a difference, you know, for two reasons. Right? Right, Yonatan? Which two? Then one, it doesn't make a difference because of what we've been saying. Meaning?
Regardless of the fact, they're still going to have a violation in this case.
That you?
Regardless of the fact, they're still going to have this violation.
Yeah, but if you're looking at it from a re'iya and the effect of the re'iya, then, you know, then who cares? You know, mostly. But that doesn't have to be the maskana, right? It could also be the maskana
that you're still going to.
That really the mechayev isn't the re'iya. The re'iya is just what makes what?
The vulnerability.
Right. So the point is, when I open up a chalon, who says just because there's a, you know, davar hamafsik, you know, that it's mitzuref, you know, to that? Maybe it's mitzuref to anything and to everything. Right? But there also you might be mechalek, right, between in both of these. The more you think that, again, if you think the answer is that it's the re'iyah and the arrest is just hechatinsi, then pretty much it shouldn't matter one way or another. But if you think that, you know, there is something to the idea, you know, that you know, creating the structure or allowing the structure to exist is part of the mechayev, so then the idea that there could be like different parameters, you know, in terms of what does and doesn't negate that, you know, is really very much an open question, right? Like, again, you might be mechalek between, you know, Rishus HaRabim and my personal Rishus or other Rishus HaYachids, you know, in between. Right? Like, most of Rishonim who dismiss this idea, although they quote it, you know, bring the raya from Rishus HaRabim. You might say that Rishus HaRabim is not a mafsik, right? Because Rishus HaRabim is a mitzurah to Rishus HaRabim. When you do that, Rishus HaRabim doesn't count, you know. But my, you know, my opening up a window into my own chatzer, you know, which then, you know, only later is open to his chatzer, you know, maybe that's different. Or into a chatzer of someone who gave me permission, you know, and but it also extends then beyond that to the person who didn't give me permission. You know, other rishus hayachids, whether it's mine or others, maybe that is different. And there might be a difference between, you know, opening the heter, right, as opposed to you open the heter, and then the like that case exactly in the Ramah, right? You opened a window when there was a wall that intervened, right, and then the wall fell down. Let's assume that it wasn't shaky. It could be also difference, right? How strong is the wall? Let's say the wall was upended, you know, in some miraculous or supernatural way or totally unpredictable, you know, way. So it's not as if you could say, well, you know, it was omeid lios, you know, nechrav or nekar, which might make a difference, right? That might make a difference. We'll get that back to in a second, another point as well. So in that circumstance, you know, are you going to say, well, that the original, you know, psichas hachalon, you know, is a mafreya as a mazik. Is that what we're going to say? Right? But certainly you could be mechalek between something which, you know, is mitzuref to a makom heter, but also extends to a makom iser, as opposed to something which is mutter legamri, you know. There might be even in mutter legamris, as I just said, even the chiluk that we just made about, you know, how much you can anticipate something falling down, you know, it's a mazik, it's a contained mazik, or it's not a mazik at all, right? Hard to know, but there might be, you know. So in terms of rishuyos, does it matter if, well, that's the Mordechai's discussion, if something is on the border, you know, you build something on the border, or you build something, you know, at least dalet amos within your own property, right? Does that matter? So what I'm saying is, if the point is that this is just background for the maisa of Hezekiah, then none of this matters. You know, if the real discussion is, you know, whether or not al pidin, it's mitzuref as a maisa heter, or you know, it's mitzuref lemakom heter, you know, kind of then now mimela the problem arises. Or, no, igloi milsa, or maybe it was even always predictable because the terrain changes, things change, you know, that's his maisa. Till now it wasn't mazik, and now that maisa that he did, you know, is mazik. So I think there are a lot of interesting questions here, but this all goes to the question that maybe the re'ia is not the, you know, gira didei. You know, it's the psicha or the binyan, you know, etc. You know, there's a psicha. That is the gira didei. But again, I would have answered the question, not like Rabbi Gnager does, we'll get to it in just a second, in a different way. I would have said what I said, which is that maybe, you know, gira didei is a davar dimimela, and there's just a chiyuv, you know, laharchik, but the chiyuv laharchik, you know, is still maybe depend whether or not, you know, something is ba'anus or it's you know, the heter, you know, etc. So these are even within the world of gira didei, and you know, there is actually a lot more controversy than one might have thought, regarding, you know, both how to understand that, how that relates to Eina Bisha, etc. So just in connection with that last point, especially, again, the discussion of the Ramah, the Gaonim, it's interesting to note just two ksosas. One, I think Kyle, is Kyle here? Mentioned to me, but...
He's on Zoom.
What?
He's on Zoom.
Oh, he's on the right Zoom. Corner. He's on the Zoom. Hey, hello everybody on the Zoom. Oh, they can see me anyway, you're saying. Yeah?
They can see
the
owl.
The owl. Okay, good. There's an interesting discussion in the couple of interesting discussions in Excels, one of which Kyle pointed out to me. But before we get to that one, the other one. So in this, we mentioned the Piskei Tshuva and others, you know, are like Mistapek. Who is this sheet of the, you know, that holds that Hezekiah is a double to be Mela, you know, and that, you know, consequently, you know, when it's Beheter, you know, maybe there's no no issue or no problem. So anyway, the Ksos has a very interesting suggestion. The Ksos thinks that maybe this argument, you know, between the Rosh and the Gaonim, you know, echoes a very similar argument, you know, in Harchakas Nezakin, between the Ramban and the Ravi Abad. Okay. So I didn't give you this to look at, but if you just look at it there, if you have it, if you can get it up, Ksos, I think it's Kufnun Dalid. What's that? Vav. Yeah, we'll get to Zion in a second, but Kufnun Dalid Vav. So it's interesting. What's the argument there? Let's say you have, you know, somebody plants, this is a Sugya Daf Yud Ches in Bava Basra, somebody plants, you know, trees near the other person's property, right? So there are all sorts of issues there. You know, it interferes with his ability to work his own, you know, field. But also there could be problem, the roots, you know, can be mazik, you know, as well. So basically, to make the matter a little bit simpler, let's say you have, you know, somebody does this, they're someich, you know, an ilan next to the gavul of their neighbor, and normally that would be, you know, prohibited, obviously, because it's, you know, mazik, the sharashim would be mazik, the rishus of the chavera, right? But let's say there's a tsunma, that's the Hechatimtzi, like there's a big rock, or, you know, which is mafsik, you know, so that the roots will be impeded, and they won't be, you know, mazik, you know, sada shel chaver. So then what happens, so the person was noteya, and, you know, that's the circumstance. And then, let's say later, the tsunma was nekar. Okay, so basically there was a natia birshus, or beheter, right? And now, of course, you have a situation where the tree, you know, is threatening, or the sharashim of the tree, the roots of the tree, are threatening the neighbor's property. And the question is, right, is he obligated, meaning the noteya, to be marchik, that nezek, you know, or not. So that seems to be a machlokas between the Ravi Abad. Ravi Abad says no. And the Ramban says yes. You have it there? Yeah. So he's quoting this rush, right? Tzorich listom chalonosav, even if it was open bad there. And she was like, go name our matia. Okay. So he quotes this case. You have some, I don't know if it's on the page, they have an Aleph. Yeah. So, Shroshin Yotzin, we talk Shachavero, Ida Mavsik Tsunma, etc. Right? So the Ramban writes, Kosha Mai, right? Lo Yakar Akol, Verisi Perisha Raidin, Shapirish, Ilav Tsunma Hashta, Shavishosh Sama Chaisa Tsunma. That's the case. This Rami Milsa, And that's why he's not obligated. And the Ramban argues and says, "Lo b'kubar, sheim lo sama chel b'shim shoyis hashem sunba kishenekra yakor." That's ha'ilon. So the so says near the guadin achte kosel b'neim v'nafala kosel tal yibazet. Right, chivas agonim shetiru b'shim shalse beheter saver kedivir aravid, a rush saver kishita saramban. Kiv lo sama chachalono sal b'shim shoy kosel b'neim kishenafala kosel tzorich lista machalono kamo b'achte tzu. So, the obviously, Pesachei Tshuva and those don't like this ksos because they think that they're not even sure when to go to Mar or you know what the sheet is based on and whether I think there's Kimberly, as we discussed. But I think this is a great, a very interesting issue. Number one, the assumption that you're comparing Harchakas Nezakin to Hezekriah here. That's interesting, but I would say that you could be Bechalek in both directions. Of course, I think it's a great parallel. Well, don't get me wrong. Before I make my distinctions, I think it really is a good, interesting parallel. Obviously, structurally, it's a good parallel. You did something which, all things being equal, would be asur, but the circumstances, protect against it. And therefore you did it, and you were allowed to do it. Everybody agrees that you were allowed to do it. That is no suffix. When there is a tsunma, right, you're allowed to do it. And now the question is, when through no fault of anybody, the impediment or the obstacle to, a good obstacle in this case, the obstacle to nezek, is the protection is gone, right? So what is your, what is your obligation? Right? Right. But is that exactly comparable, to Hezek Re'iyah? Clearly the Maisa there is the Netiyas, Ha'ilon, Samuch, L'chatzer, Shal Chavero. But is that really the problem in Hezek Re'iyah? Is it really the psichas achalon, right? According to those who are, oser, or is it the hezek ria? It's right now. That's the background, but it's really the hezek ria. It's the eina bisha or the tzimtzum, tashmishin, besadeu, or the invasion of privacy, whatever it is. In other words, it's clear that in the Harchakas Nezakin case, the Maisa, was, the Netiya. Right? And then the question is, what level, even then, that's an interesting question. What level of responsibility does that give you, for the Nezek going forward? But what I'm saying is, that could be Gufa, the argument between the Gaonim and the Rush, and that is, what is the real Davar HaMazik in Hezek Re'iyah? If you assume in both cases that it's the original Maisa, then it's a stronger than the question. You did a Maisa the Heter, right? And now, the reason for that Heter, is gone through no fault of yours. And now the question is, are you obligated to take steps or you're not, culpable because what you did when you did it was fine and now you're passive. That's the comparison, right? But that if in Hezek Re'iyah it's background and the real Maisa is the Hezek Re'iyah, then it's not comparable. Moreover, if Hezek Re'iyah is more than l'harchikas hanezek, like I was saying before, maybe you don't even get into that whole sugya, right? Because it has to do with your obligation, kedushas Yisrael, gedoron shall Yisrael, it's more than kutro beis hakise in that respect, that, which is why you have those stronger formulations in the Rajba, and so on. We'll get back to all that. So then, just two different dinim. They're just different. On the other side of it, you could be mechalek as well. Well, so what I'm trying to say is I'm not so sure that the Ravi Abad, you know, would agree with the Gaudi. I also think that it's not so clear that the Rush would agree, you know, with the Ramban. And here I don't know the answer to this question, but I think it's something to think about. Like, when you have this kind of situation, you know, how do you really look at it? Do you look at, you know, you did a Maisa Hezek, but it's neutralized, or you created a Mazik, but it's being held at bay, or you didn't do anything? Right? That's an interesting question in general. Right? So you planted a tree, and there are sharashim, but they're going to be, impeded, you know, by the tzunma. So it's a mazik. You're not chayiv for anything, as long as there's no hezek. But, you know, is there maitza hezek, you know, like in waiting? You know, like an impending maitza hezek or a delayed maitza hezek? You call it a potential maitza hezek, you know, just being neutralized? Similarly, you open up your window, you know, but there's a huge wall, you know, that intervenes between your window and his window, right? So, you know, that's a contained, you know, mazik, or that's not a mazik at all, right? It could be that's the issue, you know, in that is koveya, you know, for this kind of a question. Okay? So I'm not convinced that it has to be Hoba Hatalia in either direction. You know, the second question, again, is, I think, a question that stands on its own right. Not all neutralizing of mazik are the same. The first issue, obviously, is more, you know, relevant to us specifically, what we're talking about, and that is hezek ria typical harchakas nizakin? You know, is the mechayev the ri'iya, or is it the architectural, the structure that you created? But either way, I think it's a great, interesting parallel, which kind of brings, you know, to show a sharp focus, you know, some of the issues that we have been discussing. Okay, so that's one, number one. Number two, and this is where Kyle brought to my attention. If you look at the Ksosin Kuf Nun Dalet Zayin, yeah, Eitan. On the what?
The distance.
Mm-hmm.
How do we see that from the Bini Gash? Think of it more than like the Gemara itself. The Bini Gash only brings up an additional case about alone the Pabstik, what does he really add?
No, I just thought it was interesting that he had a Shemam Shamin Minah. I wasn't so focused on the Mordechai is way more in that. But I just thought it's interesting that a lot of Rishonim were felt that they had to be Memait. That, I mean, you're talking about the Gemara about Rishon Rabim? Yeah, but the Gemara about Rishon Rabim is more, the question of, you know, you have to protect yourself from Rishon Rabim. So does that mean there's no? But it's not. You don't have to say that the Pshat and the Gemara, and of course you do see from the Gemara, from that Gemara, which is what they're all proving, that. You know, that even though you opened this thing to Rosh Hashanah, which would have been, had it been Beheter, that would have been enough. But what I was saying was, you know, then they go on and they say it doesn't matter, you know, who adin, if you're, you know, if it's your own property or somebody, you know, some other intervention. Did we run out? Is that it?
No, I forgot.
Or some other intervention, you know, which was Beheter. So I'm being medayik and being troubled by those things. Because I think Rosh Hashanah this might be different.
But the Bini Gash application is the same thing. So Rosh Hashanah that's being opsic.
I thought he was using Rosh Hashanah in there. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he was trying to say it doesn't matter distance. And just one second. Do you have language?
Yeah.
I just thought that he, again, was uncomfortable. Then I, as I say, I've seen some shonis in the Gaonim, and then you have the Mordechai, where he has actually somebody who he has some shitas in Ashkenaz that are mechalek between the border. We'll get that in a second, but one second. I put it that I certainly think that he is pointing out that at minimum he's, even if he's not, I see what you're asking me. You're saying, I'm saying that, you know, some of them apply this not only to Rishus HaRabim, but to other, his own property, et cetera, et cetera. You're saying the Rimi Gash is more specific, is rather about Rishus HaRabim. But I think the fact that he brings it up and feels like he needs to prove it, what's he also? What's that? Mehoda bayashamina demand the boy lemiftach chalonos of shus rabin viispe hizik rei al chatzir shel chaver afagav shus rabin pamapsaki dina hu demaakev velamatz heich lemeimar lei lushus rabin kapasachna the hacher shus rabin kamapsik apil achi kamar ze osama. First of all, yeah, you're saying, well, he's only talking about shus rabin. Okay, but yeah, but it's still, what I'm trying to say is it's still mechudash, because that's not what the Gemara says. When it's the Gemara, you could just say, the Gemara says that that you know you might have thought, since you, it's not a makom tzanua, because you have to protect yourself from Rishus HaRabim, therefore the whole issue of tznius, you know, in this particular case, is out the window. Right? So, why does the... And then the Rimi Gash is saying, ah, but let's also remember, you know, something else here. Basically, what the Rimi Gash is saying is, but you could have said that just, you know, the very fact that you're allowed to open, you know, a cross from Rishus HaRabim is a matir, you know, even if there was an issue because for other people, because that's still not in the Gemara. It's implicit, but it's not. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, it's implicit, but I'm saying, why does he need to, why would you, he thinks that, by the way, he's saying, you know, you see from this Gemara something important. What do you see that's important? You go to, because you might have thought that opening your, as long as you can open, you know, as long as there's a heter, you know, to open a window to the adjacent rishus, that there should be no problem, right? I'm just saying that mehoda baya shamin and demand the boy lemiftach chalonoso rishus harabim v'ispe hezek ria al chatzero shel chavero. You know,
I thought he was just proving that rishus harabim in general, not necessarily.
Now, the Gemara focuses on what's really happening. The Gemara is saying, "Where's the tznius problem? You know, he can't use this property, you know, with no constraints, because he's got Rishus HaRabim anyway, right?" That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, "No, yeah, but still, there's a difference. Ain't a dome if he just has to contend with Rishus HaRabim, or he has to contend with other Rishus HaYachins." That's the Gemara, right? The Rimi Gash is saying, but don't forget one thing about this Gemara, and that is Shma Mina, right? That just because there's an intervening Rishus where there's no Tznias problem, doesn't mean that there's not going to be a Tznias problem beyond it. I'm just saying, why do you need to tell us that? If the Tznias problem is only in the Re'ia, then of course that's true. So it sounds like what he's saying is, you might have thought that even when there is a tznius problem in the re'ia, if samuch, you know, is not a problem, then it's not, then the psicha or whatever, or the re'ia, whatever it is not mitzurah to that, and that would make a difference. You say, but you see from this gemara that it isn't so. Right? Now I'm also adding that some of the others say this about, and let's say, you know, what about your own, let's say it's not on the border, let's say your window opens up into your chatzer, right, which then, you know, gives you visibility into his chatzer. I'm saying, I'm not so sure that that's the same as Rosh Hashanah, being in between the two chatzeros, right? You could say it's better, you could say it's worse, you could say it's the same. I'm not sure about it. All I'm trying to say is that in either way, anybody who's worried about that, you know, is not, again, and that could be why most of them are excluding it, because they're saying, no, it's the effect of the Re'iyah, who cares? Right? But since we have a parallel anyway in this, in Acharkas HaZaken, even in Hezek Re'iyah, you know, B'mokom, you know, Heter, you know, this is a different kind of Mokom Heter, is all I'm trying to say. Right? So it is still a Chiddush. It's not, if you say, is this Chiddush obvious from the Gemara? It is. But the fact that he has to spell it out, I mean, what was he spelling it out for? What? Yes, I'm saying he's spelling it out because he's thinking, and there are views that maybe what it's physically mitzurav to, when you do, you know, this psicha, matters. So he's saying, but you see, it's not. No, from this Gemara, you can prove that if Rishus HaRabim is the intervening Rishus, then for somebody, that it doesn't make a difference. That's all you can prove. But even spelling it out, you know, you didn't necessarily have to say in this Gemara, Shema Mina, like whoever said that that you need a Shema Mina, that Rishus HaRabim is not, you know, is not a Ptur. All I'm saying is the Rimigash points out, as do some of the others, you see from this Gemara that an intervening Rishus, per se, is not a Ptur. Well, all I'm being medayik is, do you really need somebody to tell you that? The Rimigash thinks that you need somebody to tell you that. Now, you can need somebody to tell you that because it's, you know, because it's not so completely wrong, and then you can look for echoes, and we do have those. I'm saying maybe Beheber Rishus, and maybe, you know, maybe there's a difference between, you know, Toch Gevulo and Allah Gevulo and things like that. Right? We'll get to that in a second. Or maybe there's a difference between Rishus HaRabim and, you know, and some Rishus HaYachids that are bad. Right? Or you can need to tell me it because it's completely wrong. It is completely, completely wrong, but you still, you know, wouldn't have known it was completely wrong. And that's because it's really about the effect of the Re'iyah. You know. Or, you know, you might have had a Havamina, as I say, if you're looking at it from the, not from the Nizak point of view, but from the Mazik point of view, I'm looking into my Chatzer. My vision, you know, carries to other places, or the other people don't know, you know, that also, the don't know part, of course, goes to, you know, what we talked about on Nuntes, some Aleph and Nuntes on the base, that question, namely, is it all about, you know, what he's going to see, or is it about the effect of the other person not knowing what he's going to see, whether in terms of privacy, because you don't have privacy as long as you have safek, or in terms of tzimtzum tashmishim, maybe there's no einabisha if he's not looking. You know what I mean? So I do think it's significant. I just think it's interesting to chart, like, you know, how troubled they are by it and whether they're echoes. Okay, sorry, that took longer. I'm going to stop it. Okay, so the other ksosis, just to mention very quickly, is that the I mentioned when we read the that, you know, the Rush has this view that, let's say, you know, you had a you know, a bias, you know. Let's say, you know, you have a property. Again, let's say the case is, you know, Reuven's windows open into Shimon's house, you know, which opens into Levi's house. Let's take that case. Right? And then Shimon, you know, sells his property to Reuven. Right? So now Reuven owns Shimon's house, you know, and then Shimon's old house, you know, falls down. Now the question is, does Reuven you know, have to put a wall up to protect Levi from his original house when Levi wasn't protected, you know, from what used to be Shimon's house. Is everybody with me on that? Right? Okay, so that, again, that's a very interesting case. But there can be more than one scenario there. Now, again, that's not a case where there was a wall, meaning that there was no Hezekria, or there was Re'ia Beheter, right? And then, you know, the Dover HaMapsik was Nekar, you know, in some way. Right? It's a little bit of a different, you know, situation. It's a situation where there is Re'ia, you know, Mirshus Shimon, Mirshus Levi, and when that no longer is the case, you know, but since there was a Re'ia Mishimon Lelevi, right, does that, you know, affect the Re'ia from Rishus Reuven, the original Rishus Reuven, in other words, to Rishus Levi? Like, who cares if the Re'ia comes from here or comes from there? Right? So again, I was suggesting that if you look at the effect on Levi, right, then that's a very good argument. Right? Because at the end of the day, who cares whether Levi's exposed from Beis Shimon or from Beis Reuven? The point is that he was allowing himself to be exposed. However, it wasn't so clear to me that from, you know, if there's an aspect that's determined not by the Nizak but by the Mazik, you know, then it isn't so pashut, you know, that just because Shimon, you know, has a chazaka or mechila or whatever it is, you know, that extends to Reuven. So that isn't exactly what the Ksos says, but the Ksos does suggest, you know, a distinction. And the Ksos' distinction is a little bit different. The Ksos says, listen, when Shimon's old house, you know, which is, you know, this is the question. When Shimon's house falls down, is it owned at that point by Reuven? Or is it still owned by Shimon? That's the question that the Ksos discusses. Do you have a line there, Benjamin? Why? So again, I would have said, because, you know, the heter, you know, that Shimon has in his interaction with Levi doesn't necessarily extend to Reuven, because it isn't all effect-oriented. You don't say Maishna, Maishna. But that's not what Ksos says. Ksos says there are two factors here. One is the fact that he's not Mishtamesh Bimakomo, you know, Bitsnius, because Shimon, you know, has visibility into his property. That's factor number one. But factor number two is that, you know, kind of he was Mochel that, you know, and therefore it's not in his hands anymore. But what will happen? So he wants. So says the following: If Shimon, right? If Reuven brought Shimon's house, you know, so he now owns the property and he has the right. If he has the right to build up that house again, in terms of chazaka, then in Achanami, then the Rush is right. But if Reuven doesn't own the property, then why can't Levi say, you know, I was mochel, you know, I wasn't makbid on the tznius till now, but now I am. Right? You have that line? Benjamin, go ahead.
Zeira da'inu davka Reuven kana bais ha'mafsik. Bazem u'digamar harash da'inu tzarech l'tzal kalona. Kevun d'shalohu. Amrinan ibai bani lai. Avalim haya bais ha'mafsik shal acher.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's a very important aura, and that would be, you know, a limitation on that chiddush of the Rosh, but not for the reason that I'm suggesting, and that is that you have to worry about the mazik and not just the nizak, but for the reason that the nizak, you know, has the right to reclaim, you know, his to reclaim from Reuven, if not from Shimon, who he's already conceded to, right? The you know, this particular. Of course, this assumes a little bit stuff about Cheskas Hezek Re. Okay, I'm going to have to stop in a minute. Let me just. So let's go back to his Shtamshus issue just for a minute. We talked about, you know, the, you know, Shin Samaches and all of that. But let's just go back to the Hishtamshus issue, you know, for just a minute. So part of the discussion of the Beis Yosef, the Sma, etc., in Shinai and Ches, sorry, is that Shin Samaches? Shinai and Ches, is, you know, that Eina Bisha is a direct mazik, and that typical hezek re'ia is more indirect, and it's all about limiting the tashmishim, you know, in the sun. You know, and that is pretty mechudash. It's a pretty mechudash thing to say, and apparently that's not considered grama. You know, that again, maybe that's even girei didei, according to some of the rishonim who really, you know, hold by that. So first of all, there are some lishonos and rishonim, you know, that do speak about the limitation of Hishtamshus, number one. But also maybe that is relevant, I'm going to stop in a minute, to the question of the other debate between the Rabban, you know, and the Mordechai. So I just want to get these two in on the record. Maybe we'll discuss a little further. And I want to just finish up with the Rosh, and then I want to start talking about Beis Shar and the other Marmakomos on that first page. What's the debate between the Rabban and the Mordechai?
The Rabban says that as long as the Nizak has the ability to use some part of his cutter, there's no hezekiah.
Correct.
The Mordechai says, not the case, there's still hezekiah.
Correct. So that's a very interesting issue. Again, do you have the language of the, what are you reading from the Mordechai? Yeah, it's in the Rabban, but we can read it well from the Mordechai. There's a tough Ayin Aleph. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. It
says the Rabban Kasav Im Yesh Makom Efa Bahazero Shoshimon the Yakov Yitzani Hashan Eino Yakov Vinfos Aval Im Roa Bahazer Bechol Hachazer Bechol Makom Apilu Tama Hazer Tmatsikos Yakov Vinfos Mahmas Hazekriya.
Oh. So what's the and what's the raya?
He says the raya mid the amrle balachasa la balagag that he did be a tashmishi that he got look be a law. The lo yadana idna the ailat itzanimina shmamina the imyakul itzaneish enyakul asale riyasa.
Oh, good raya or not? I mean, it's certainly not a bad raya, right? But foolproof raya? The paradigm case is the Gog and the Chatzer, right? So what is that?
So the Bala Chatzer can say to the Bala Gog, you have to make the wall because I have Bias use my Chatzer for my Tashmishin. I don't know when you're going to be looking at me, and I would have to be mitzaneah.
As opposed to, but you, only you can protect yourself. The ability to protect yourself, being based on times or knowledge of the other person's comings and goings, is being compared to cordoning off part of the property. Right. In one case, we're talking about, you know, I have knowledge of your you know, your schedule right, and therefore I can do the things I need to do in my property, you know, without being vulnerable, right? And that is being held as a paradigm for I could do my tsnius things in my quarter of my field or three quarters of my field, doesn't really matter, right? And therefore there's no problem, you know, on the remaining part, right? So in one case, it's not, you're not taking a part of the sadeh and rendering it limited, right? That's just a shiur in, you might say, I mean, let's say from the Rabban's point of view, the Rabban is saying, well, if you need, you know, unqualified, unrestricted, you know, license to do whatever you want, whenever you want, right, then they're the same, right? Because, you know, I should be able to do what I want in my property, regardless of what, you know, of everybody knowing everybody's, you know, schedule, you know, etc. So what do we see? Says the Rabban, that all we need, all person needs, is the ability, right, to have privacy, right, or to be able to use his property, you know, in a private way, or to be able to manifest his private needs, you know, in his property, you know. So hu adin, it doesn't make a difference whether that's a question of timing or a question of the property itself, right? The Mordechai disagrees. What does he say? Yeah. Because he thinks that the first issue, how would you say it, is an issue of...
He can use his old chaser, just can't use all his old chaser all the time.
Yeah, so that's just a question of, you know, of scheduling, or of, you know, what constitutes, you know, like, is this person's, you know, open... His shtamshus in his own property, does that constitute really a threat to my tznius? The answer is no. Right? Just like, let's say, you know, the Gemara was saying about Rosh Hasharabim, right? Like, you know the Rosh Hasharabim are there, and therefore you have to conduct yourself in a certain way. Actually, even less so. There are certain times, whatever, it's not difficult to skirt around that. There's no issue of tznius. But where there is, the idea that, oh, you know, half of my property, again, whatever the amount, doesn't make a difference, that my property is restricted from use just because, you know, bigavra, you know, I can do the things that I need, you know, to do. Yeah, but why should that affect my property? Right. So it's an interesting presumably an interesting argument about the paradigm case. And then later on he repeats again, in the end of the piece, you saw it. The Mashal Pasuk Ravon Shemiyesh Makom Bas Shochal Litzdaneya Yesh Lashiv Chad Matzorich LeKol Echad LaHadif HaMake HaYochal Litzdanue Tuva B'Makom Acher Shaliuchal Zeliro. He says, and what do you do with the Gemara that says on Vav Mebei such you have to be Madiv? What do you have to be Madiv? The guy has plenty of in the part that corresponds to the fence, right? There's you can be tanua there. That's actually a good question. The suga bechalonos atzma kamer milamala shaliyatzitz after yishishtamish l'tzad acher, right? My time a yafset haloshim was shar chatzero. Lachim istabert kolecha sheish ktsas has a griya sheyochal imchos. So it's possible, you know, it's hard to know. Is this a question, what do you think, of hishtamshus, you know, betoch sadeu, as opposed to privacy? Could be. In other words, the more you say that, you know, people have the right to privacy, you might say, well, he has an outlet for his privacy, right? But if it's a question of the value or limiting somebody else's ownership in his own property, right, that's a different matter. What's interesting also is to correspond that, I'm going to stop because we have found Mincha, that later on in Tav Kuf Nun Zayin, you saw that one? Tav Kuf Nun Vav, about the difference between Chalon Mitzri and Chalon Tzuri. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll finish with that. And then I want to talk about the Rush. And then I want to talk about Beit Shah. We'll start going straight. And then we'll fill in.